Just so y'all know, a little bragging. We finished it yesterday. 9 miles, 25 obstacles, no injuries, no serious injuries anyway, right? We're still walking this morning, a little slower than usual, but we're still walking. All right, so keeping short accounts, confession and forgiveness in marriage. So we're going to, you guys have some handouts on your tables. Hopefully you have at least enough for one per couple. You might have enough for one each, I don't know. And we're going to start on the side of, if you're looking at it, flip it, there's principles of confession. So that's where we're going to kind of start this morning. And our passage that we're looking at is this one, James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And so Patricia and I were trying to, as we were putting this together, we were trying to think of like a really good example of this. And we realized that there is so many, over 25 years, been so many times that we've had to ask for forgiveness and release forgiveness to the other person that we couldn't actually come up with one that stood out because it's just like a common, very, very common occurrence. When you step on each other's toes so much, finding one particular time that you stepped on each other's toes really bad is a challenge, I guess, which is a good, I suppose, a good challenge to have. So, you know, this passage, James 5:16, is like a lot of the one another's that you'll find throughout the New Testament, is not specifically talking to into marriage specifically. But just like all of the other one another's in Scripture, if it's not true in your most intimate relationship, which is your marriage relationship, where is it going to be true? Right? And oftentimes, it's a lot easier for us to do the one another's, to practice the one another's with people that aren't as close to us. But in my opinion, it becomes much less authentic if you're practicing them really well with the people around you, and yet that person that's closest to you is not on the receiving end of those, then the stuff happening on the outside almost becomes like a facade or an act or a mask, a Christian mask that you're wearing. So if this doesn't apply to our marriages, I don't think it can apply really anywhere else. So confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So we're going to talk about sort of keeping short accounts, because I think it is important if we don't keep short accounts with each other, meaning if we don't, not a ledger. Obviously, the ledger is not what we want to have. So the ledger should close, you know, all the time. But we do want to make sure that we don't let things fester, that we don't, you know, sweep things under the carpet and let them kind of accumulate over time and a root of bitterness grow up. So keeping short accounts with our spouse is important for the health, just the general health of our marriage. So we're going to start with the principles of confession. I've got five of each. So the first one is keeping short accounts with the Lord. You know, if you look at Psalm 51, when David is confessing his sin with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah, he makes the statement to God that he said, I've sinned against you and you alone. So he's sort of very, obviously, quite obviously, he sinned against a lot of other people, not just God. But our sin, at its root, is always first and foremost against God, against our Creator. Proverbs 28:13, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. If we hang on to those things, you know, again, you go back to David's Psalms of confession when he talks about being crushed by them. How, as you know, when I hid my sin from you, I was under pressure, I was crushed, I didn't feel, and it can take on, really manifest itself physically, as well as emotionally, as well as relationally. So keeping short accounts with the Lord is critical. 1 John 1:9, right? We always have that promise. We talk about, you know, when at the moment of salvation, at the moment of our trusting in Christ, we receive God's forgiveness of our sins. And many times, I think, wrongly in Christian life, we think that that was a one-time event. And now, you know, as we continue to fall, and we will continue to fall, and we'll continue to stumble, that those things, you know, are almost irredeemable, or we're, oh, I disappointed God. But if you go to 1 John 1:9, there's a promise there, right? That if we confess our sins, God is faithful, God is just, and He will forgive our sins. And not only that, but He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness, meaning He'll pick us up again and say, okay, keep going. It's okay. Like I thought, it's funny, the Tough Mudder yesterday, people were falling off of obstacles left and right into the mud. And, you know, and people were there beside them picking them up and saying, okay, keep going. And you just get up and you clean yourself off and you keep walking. So keeping short accounts with the Lord is where it begins. The second thing is keeping short accounts with your spouse, right? And I don't know where I got this quote from, but it's pretty powerful. A true believer is one who has learned by the work of the Holy Spirit to say, will you please forgive me? I think that pride gets in the way of our doing that sometimes, but as we get into the practice of seeking forgiveness, of confessing when we've come up short, when we've hurt the person that should mean the most to us in the world, to be humble enough to go before them and say, please forgive me. And when we do that, we need to be specific, right? We need to be specific. I'm sorry, just I'm sorry, generally, doesn't carry as much power as specifically as would you please forgive me for X? And if it's my case, X, Y, Z, right? I should have started earlier in the alphabet. And it means everything, not just our actions, but our attitudes. You know, just to give you some examples, think of, you know, a lack of gentleness, a lack of understanding, for pride, for laziness, for indifference, for passivity, anger, disrespect, emotional or physical distance. Right? That's not, you're not actively doing something, but you're passively creating distance between you and your spouse, and you need to seek forgiveness for that. You need to keep short accounts. And then you need to do it without caveats, which means even when you didn't mean to offend, you still need to seek forgiveness. So that saying, well, I didn't mean to make you feel that way. I didn't mean to, you know, my intention wasn't to show you disrespect. Well, that really doesn't matter. Because if the other person felt disrespected, if your spouse felt disrespected, then, you know, they felt disrespected. So stow the caveats. There should be no but in your keeping short accounts. You know, Psalm 19:12 talks about hidden faults. David talks, you know, prays to God, and he asks for God to show him and forgive him for things that he's done that he doesn't even know he's done. Now, when I come home, sometimes I can tell just by the look on Patricia's face that I've done something. I don't know what it is. No, guys, have you been there? Yeah. Right? You're going, okay. Your mind's racing back over the day, and what did I say? And how did I act? Did I not show up? Did I not do something I was supposed to do? So then I just, you know, ask generally. I don't know what I did, but whatever it was, I need you to forgive me. And then tell me what it was so I can try to not do it again. So even, you know, seeking forgiveness needs to be, you know, and confession needs to be without caveats, without but. Do it quickly, right? We talked about, I think, a few weeks ago, that passage, not letting the sun go down on your anger. And that can literally mean, you know, if you want to be a literalist and say, okay, well, if I did something today, I need to get it squared away. I need to confess it today. I think generally speaking, it just means do it quickly. Take care of it. You know, if you've got something that you need to confess, that you need to seek forgiveness about, don't wait. Do it quickly. The other one is doing it, this is the last one, is doing it continually. Proverbs 24:16 says, the righteous falls 7 times and rises again. And I think you'll find, and at least for me anyway, that I found is as I seek forgiveness, as I confess where I've failed, you know, where I've not... you know, where I've not protected her emotions or where I've not supported her the way that I should in, you know, something that she's doing, where I've not backed her up with the kids, if the kids are pushing back and I've not come to her defense in the way that I should have. I found that as I confess those things and seek forgiveness, it actually becomes easier. I think in the beginning it's tough because, like I said, our pride gets in the way and we want to defend ourselves. We want to say, well, I did this or I didn't do this because... because of this, because you, right? We either want to blame shift or we want to deflect it back at the other person. But I found that as we do this, as we get in the practice of doing this continually, you'll find that it gets easier to do. And like I said, it's keeping short accounts. You don't want this thing, you know, to sit and fester overnight or for a week or for 2 weeks and just build up in your spouse. So those are the five principles that I've got. And when we get to the discussion questions, I'm going to, you know, one of the discussion questions is, do you guys have any principles you'd add? So if you feel like, oh my gosh, Mike, this is not exhaustive, it's probably not exhaustive. And that's okay. So we'll get some more good ideas around the tables. The principles of forgiveness then are also five. The first one being, don't be the ungrateful servant, right? So just remembering that, forgive because God in Christ first forgave you. You know, Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And we all know the story of the ungrateful servant, right? And when we stop and we think about it, the little things, the little offenses that our spouse commits against us in light of the weight of our own sin that God in Christ forgave us for, it pales, right? So it becomes sort of the height of arrogance and self-centeredness to not release forgiveness to our spouse over something that, again, in the light of what we've been forgiven, pales. So don't be the ungrateful debtor. Forgive. And now it's going to go out on me. There we go. Do it continually. So just like we are confessing continually, we get in the habit of doing that both before God and before our spouse. When we forgive, we should do it continually. Remember, they asked Jesus, you know, how many times should I forgive? It's, you know, seven times? As though that were like a really big number. And of course, Jesus said, no, 70 times seven, which didn't mean, and I can't do the math, but didn't mean that number. What he meant was continually forgive. Now, keep in mind, this doesn't mean that there's no consequences. Just like when we confess to God and God is faithful and he's just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, it doesn't take away the consequences for things that we've done. So when the sin of your spouse is something really grievous, both before God and a grievous offense against you, it doesn't mean that there aren't consequences to that. But we need to release forgiveness to that person and allow God to be the judge. That's what we're called to do over and over again. The other one is, yeah, do it privately. Now, this one's kind of interesting. So, you know, we talk about when we praise people, we should do it publicly. When we have to correct somebody, we should always do it privately. That's sort of a management 101 or parenting 101, whichever one you want to go with, lesson. But when you look back at Joseph, you know, when Joseph's brothers came before him and they realized that it's him, what was the first thing that Joseph did? He cleared the room. He told everybody else that was there to get out. And it was just him and his brothers. And then he forgave his brothers, you know, and he gave them the sort of the famous line, what you intended for evil, God intended for good to save many. And he forgave them, but he did it in a private way. So I think that's an important thing for us to keep in mind, is that we should handle these things privately between us and our spouse, not cause them any undue embarrassment, because that's the last thing we want to do. The fourth one is relieving them of worldly sorrow. So you go to 2 Corinthians 7:10, right? Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. And so being sorrowful about your sin is healthy if it's godly sorrow that leads you to repentance. Worldly sorrow that just causes you to constantly beat yourself up and berate yourself and belittle yourself is not godly sorrow. And so relieving our spouse of that, and we could talk about ways, and again, this is for discussion, how do we do that? What does that look like to relieve them of worldly sorrow? And to, you know, embrace them again through that. So relieving them. And then the last one here is this, relinquish the offense. You know, Psalm 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, and we talk about how far God has separated our sin from us. And here's the thing, if we continue to bring up old offenses, like this is perfect with the ledger example this morning, if every time we have an argument, if every time there's a new offense and the offense resembles an old offense, and then that's been forgiven, right? We took care of that, supposedly, right? Someone confessed, someone said, I forgive you, and then it was put to rest. If the next time that offense reoccurs, you immediately go back and say, you know what? There you go again. Just like you did. You always do that. Just like you did back there, you know, 20 years ago. I remember when you did the same exact thing, right? My memory doesn't go back that far. You ladies have an amazing ability to remember stuff. It's scary. But I would say this. Think about this. Can you imagine how horrible if every time, you know, we went just like in 1 John 1:9, every time that we confessed our sin to God, it said, God is faithful and just to pull out the list of times that you messed up and read them to you before forgiving you, right? That would be painful. I mean, absolutely painful. So think about that and don't bring up old baggage to beat your spouse over the head with. You need to relinquish the offense. Obviously, we can't forgive and forget is not a thing, right? That's just not reality because it leaves every offense leaves a scar, you know, leaves a wound. But as we forgive those things, as we release forgiveness, God heals those. Remember we talk about, and we'll go back to it right now, right? Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. As we do that, God will heal those things, but it doesn't mean that the scar, you know, the scar tissue is completely gone. And it doesn't mean that we've forgotten that old offense, but it does mean we've relinquished our right to bring it up and beat our spouse over the head with it. So that's off limits. So those are the five. Go back to it. Whoops. I won't go back to it. You have them on your paper. So those are the five principles of forgiveness. Now, we've got four discussion questions here. Where have you struggled most in your marriage? Whether that's on the confession or the forgiveness side. Which of these principles do you find most difficult to execute on? Can you share a time when confession and forgiveness brought healing to your marriage or when it has gone wrong? And then finally, would you include any additional principles? And if so, what would you add? I want to pray for us. And then do you guys have enough of these handouts? Is everybody, because I've got some extras if people need more. We got enough? All right. Why don't I pray for us and then we'll get started. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the forgiveness that we enjoy in Christ. God, thank you that we can come before your throne of grace and confess our failings before you. We know that you know each one of them even more intimately than we do, both our hidden sins and those sins that we've committed intentionally. And yet, Father, you continue to offer us forgiveness in Christ. And we are awed by that. We are thankful for that. We're thankful, Father, that we can walk through this life in the Spirit, seeking to serve you and to follow Christ without fear of failure because of your forgiveness. So God, I pray that you would help us by your Holy Spirit to apply that forgiveness to our spouse, to the person we love most on this earth. I pray, Father, that you would give us the courage to confess and seek forgiveness when we've offended or transgressed against our spouse. Father, I pray that you would heal us as couples as we forgive, as we confess, as we pray for one another. Father, we put this time of conversation in your hands. We ask, God, that you would lead it. Father, that it would be edifying to each of us here, that it would be glorifying to you. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.